Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are doing the Thanksgiving thing here this week. We're having our wise conversations all week long, including with our mayor, Brandon Scott. We had our Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery at Coco's last week. We had a great a litany of guests, including my friend Mike Resigliano. Ruffin Bell joined us from Coppin State. We had Corey McCray stop by. And, of course, Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller. Barry Glassman, Harford County Executive, running for controller, will be joining me on Friday at Conrad's Crabs in Abingdon. Hope you get out there before 2 o'clock to say hello. We have some other friends coming out. Eric Sauer from There Goes My Hero will be there as well. Luke Jones is here right now. We are recapping these Houdini escape acts of the Ravens. By the way, Steelers almost had a Houdini act there in the late going, you know, as we burn the midnight oil. All of these games are close, dude, right? I mean, like, we talk about they could be 7-3, they could be 3-7, they could be something else if they're not kicking field goals and having this cardiac comeback thing. Somewhere along the line in the press room, I don't know if it was Jameson, Jeff, somebody asked him, maybe it was Jonas, about the sort of, not just the resiliency of coming back, but doing something week after week that they didn't do. You know, this was sort of a card trick that you didn't know if they had this in them, and certainly not without Lamar Jackson on Sunday in Chicago.
Yeah, and that's where I think it is difficult to, you know, we talked about in our previous segment, I don't know if we learned a ton about the Ravens that we didn't already know from the context of they've come back this year. They've had the issues with their offensive line. They've had the issues constantly giving up big plays at the worst possible times for the defense. Now, you learned about Tyler Huntley, and that's good, but let's face it. You hope Tyler Huntley doesn't have to take another snap the rest of the year. But inevitably, you know, he might have to. So maybe that's good in that way. But as I said before, and as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, I mean, survival is the word that keeps coming to mind for me. And I don't say that to be disparaging. I say that as a credit to the Ravens when you consider all of the players they were without on Sunday, all of the players they've been without all season, going back to the end of training camp. They figure out ways to win. And I think to your point, talking about even the Steelers-Chargers game on Sunday night, what we're seeing in the AFC is I'm sure there are good teams within that group of, I don't know, 10 to 11 that are still kind of sort of in the mix. But right now there's a race among all those teams to try to improve upon their deficiencies because it's showing up for all these teams. And I mentioned the Ravens being a survivor in the sense that it hasn't hurt them quite as much, but we're only a week removed or 10 days removed from the loss at Miami. All of these teams lose games like this. And it really is a race of who can get better, who can improve, who can make themselves a serious contender come late December and January. Because some teams are going to do that, whether it's the Ravens, whether it's the Bills, whether it's Indianapolis looking way better and being impressed with what they did. The cream will rise to the top. Now, it might not be a historically great team, but it will be the best from the rest. And right now, all these teams are still searching for that.
Well,
and
I hope Ravens, my eggnog is better, that, you know, at Wise Markets than 9-8. You know what I mean? Like 9-8 is where they're all trying to get to. Dude, you get to 10 wins, you're in, right? The Ravens are on that pathway now, unless they really stub their toe and lose 4 or 5 or something really crazy. And that's all out there because there are no Jets. There are no walkovers. And the walkovers aren't walkovers. That's what the Dolphins were supposed to be last week, right? One thing I wanted to hit you on about this topsy-turvy where you know, the Jets can win games, the Colts can win games, the Jaguars can win games, although not this weekend. But the danger at the bottom of the league has always been there, dude, right? I mean, I remember the badass, awful 96 Ravens beating the Steelers here. Right, Carnell late game, if you remember that game first. You know, teams have no business winning games in November, December do because the NFL's competitive like that. And I'm sure you have some Buck Showalter idiom here, you know, to throw at me about, you know, measuring up and all of that. This is Major League Baseball. This is the National Football League. Yeah, it is. And you're vulnerable. The Jets can beat you. Any team can beat you.
They can. I do think it's been a little more frequent this year as far as just some of the volatility. And I mean, I think that reflects from the standpoint of, I mean, look at the Ravens Titans and the Ravens have three losses, and they're at the top right now. Titans, of course, have one more win than the Ravens. But look at New England at 7-4, and then you can look at the Denver Broncos, who are 5-5. So they're one game behind in the loss column, and they're currently 12th in the AFC. So you just have a lot of teams just right in the middle there. There are no great teams. You know, I mean, the Jets certainly look terrible at times. The Texans have looked awful, but they didn't look awful on Sunday against the best team in the conference, Jacksonville. I mean, those teams are really bad, but I mean, you're
At the Chargers team that came in here and sleepwalk, and you know, the Steelers take 50,000 fans out there and Chargers won. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean about 9-8. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here with Cleveland and primetime and Al and Chris and all of that stuff. But win one, lose one the rest of the way is going to bode well for the Ravens, because this is the meat of the schedule. I don't expect them to go 5-1 the next 6 weeks. I really, if they do, they are the premier team. You know, they're the 13-win team. They're the one seed if they do that. I don't know that they're good like that. I mean, I watched them play last week. I've watched them play the last 6 weeks. I was impressed once. The Chargers game was impressive. How impressive? I don't know. Even more impressive when they go and beat the Steelers.
Yeah, and that's what I think you're waiting to see a little bit more of that. I mean, as much as the style points don't matter on a day like Sunday, where your starting quarterback's not playing, I mean, you get out of Dodge with a win. I mean, even if it was a case that they lost, you're just hoping get out of this game without any more serious injuries and go home and regroup. They got the win, makes it that much better. But
I'm having fun with you here because you were on the last trip. I got into the elevator after the win with Eric DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome, and we all pointed out how the elevator ride in Chicago was much more comfortable this time than the last time. So, yeah. You know, you said snuck out and all that. I kind of had a moment with Ozzie and Eric after the game about sneaking out of there, because it's not easy sneaking out of an NFC game on the road historically over 25 years. We lose a lot of games in Minnesota and Green Bay and these far-flung places we don't go every 8 years. So when you do win any of these games, I you feel so spoiled, right? Like, you're just supposed to go to Miami and win. You're just supposed to go on the road and win. It's not easy to do, and the Ravens aren't a great team.
Well, the last thing is really, you said it. I mean, they don't feel like a great team right now. I mean, we've talked about it a lot, about the fact that, you know, they're 7-3, and look, they don't apologize for that. They shouldn't apologize for that. And that's why I said, to me, they're the best survivor in the AFC at this point. And you can say, okay, well, what about Tennessee? Okay, Tennessee has been without Derrick Henry for a few weeks. Look at the guys the Ravens have been without all year. And it's a credit to them. But yeah, you're trying to see what exactly they're going to look like come season end. And you know, the one thing I will say, and again, this kind of lends itself to what you were saying about how anyone can beat anyone, the schedule is going to pick up right now. And you look at the rest of their schedule right now, everyone they're going to play has a winning record. And I mean, even someone like Pittsburgh, who I don't know about you, I wasn't impressed with Sunday night. I think they made a couple miraculous plays on special teams and defense to give themselves a chance, but I'm not seeing it with Ben Roethlisberger anymore. That said, does that mean I just assume the Ravens are going to go to Pittsburgh and win in a couple weeks? Well, you know, we know how difficult that can be. They can do it.
Always looks old until we show up.
No, I mean, he looks old all the time now. I mean, I'm not impressed. But that said, look at the quarterbacks the Ravens have been giving up 300-yard games. I mean, look at what Jacoby Brissett and Tua Tagovailoa did against them on a Thursday night game. And you know, it kind of brings us back full circle to this defense that, I mean, you look at Sunday's performance, they were outstanding for long stretches of that game. But you give up the two longest plays of the day, two touchdowns, and without the busted coverage with Sammy Watkins on third down, where Huntley, you know, does a great job finding them, setting up the touchdown, we're talking about the defense costing them the game on two plays. And would that have been fair necessarily, considering the offense had only mustered three field goals to that point? No, but it's this overwhelming theme that just continues happening, where they're just giving up big plays at the worst possible time. And that's where you do start to look at the schedule and say, all right, if you're doing this against the Bears and you're doing this against the Dolphins, what's going to happen when you do go up against some of these teams that are, quote, better than those teams? Are you going to clean this up, or is it going to look even worse? And that's where it is concerning, but it's frustrating because I think you have a team that you consider guys that haven't been out there. You know, Brandon Williams hasn't played since the bye. Derek Wolfe hasn't played all year. We've talked about LJ Fort, no Deshaun Elliott, no Marcus Peters.
Wait, Campbell got hurt in the game?
Yeah, I'm not sure he was really hurt, to be totally honest. But you go back and look at that.
Oh.
The Ravens are going to get busted for 12 men on the field. Now, he did – if it was – I'm not saying it was a complete fake. Let's be clear about that. I don't think he was hurt all that badly compared to how they sold it, because he was running off the field and then suddenly he just goes down. Like, I wouldn't say not as bad as like he got shot. You know, it wasn't like a flop in the NBA, but I was wondering if there was a little bit of gamesmanship there. But your overall point, if they would lose Calais Campbell, knowing how important he's been, but their defense plays so well for long periods of time. And I mean, you look at the game on Sunday, once again, outstanding on third down. You know, we've seen them just be so good in that department. They were 2 of 11 on third down. The Bears were trying to convert. The Ravens have been excellent in that department all year long. Red zone. The Bears were 0 for 1 in the red zone. Ravens came into the week first in the NFL in red zone defense. So that tells you situationally, they've been really, really good. It's just these lapses then where they miss a tackle like Chuck Clark did and Brandon Stevens did on Sunday on the first touchdown. Or in the case of the final touchdown, Chris Westry bites on a double move. Although I'll say I'm a big Wink Martindale guy. Running cover zero with Chris Westry and no safety help in that spot, I don't know. I mean, at some point in time, you need to recognize you don't have Marcus Peters back there right now. I mean, you just don't. And in that case, you didn't even have Anthony Averett or Jimmy Smith. So the coaching has to play a part in it. No, there's no question about it. But this defense, but as well as this defense plays for long stretches of time, it's completely ruined by these big plays, and they count. Like I'm not being dismissive saying that. That's how it is. I mean, it reminds me of a pitcher who, you know, strike it out 8 guys, but then gives up the 3-run homer at the absolute worst possible time in the game. You know, I mean, it's you're going to remember that. You're not going to remember all the strikeouts or the velocity or any of that. I mean, they're having really good performances, otherwise really good performances, completely ruined by these big plays. And at some point in time, in the same way we've talked about the comebacks, at some point in time, you keep looking at this and say they're not going to be able to sustain this. At some point, this is going to sink them. If it's against Cleveland, or if it's against Cincinnati again, or if it's going up against Green Bay or the Rams, or yes, even the Steelers, the team that I just spent some time saying I don't think they're all that good. But hey, we've seen the Ravens lose to Miami. We've seen the Ravens lose to the Bengals, who have been very up and down, let's say, although certainly an impressive performance for them on Sunday against Vegas. But there's just, at some point, you'd like to think that they could clean that up, but it keeps happening and it keeps happening. And it's either a missed tackle situation, like we saw on the first touchdown, or in the second, where that wasn't really a busted coverage because Westry just bit on a double move more so. But you know, whether it's just a failure in coverage or a complete busted coverage like we saw in Miami on a couple occasions, it's going to cost you football games. And it's going to cost you football games that are very winnable.
I think Coach Harbaugh would bristle if I compared any of this to the preseason. But if you and I go back to August and talk about the team and what was supposed to be on the field in the second half, by the time you get to Chicago, by the time you get to this point where it's Thanksgiving and you've got Browns, Steelers, Bengals, you know, like all that's happening here. The guys that are actually out on the field, to your point, right? Let's not talk about the guys that aren't playing, the Brandon Williams and the guy and all of that, but the guys who are. You're talking about Brandon Stevens. You're talking about Chris Westry. These guys that you were saying back in August, yeah, the Ravens like them, but they don't want to see them on the field. They got Peters and Smith, and they're hoping, you know, all the best case scenarios of your salesmanship of the offseason and Eric DaCosta's, which was, we're stacked at running back. We're stacked at wide receiver. I don't know how we got too many guys, and we believe in Duvernay, and we believe in Prochet, and you know these other guys that you don't believe in yet, and we believe in young Brandon Stevens, and we believe in Patrick Queen's going to make some plays, but more than that, the down the roster guys. I mean, there are guys out there making plays 57. I'm like, who's this Christian guy with the K? I'm like, I'm learning names and players, and I'm looking at the roster as well. And we're, you know, it's Thanksgiving. I mean, the guys that are on the field are not what they planned this to be. And I keep going back to any year where it's like this, I just say, they're not very good right now. I mean, the fact that they're winning is great. The worst 7-3 team in the history of ball, whatever you want to say about that. The pudding comes now because they have to go play these big games where the swing becomes a 2-game swing every time you play in the division and with conference record. If you're talking about 7-8 weeks from now fighting, but if they're 7-3, there should be no reason that they have to count bananas and how many conference wins do we have and point different. I mean, they're in the catbird seat to do well. And if they go 2-5, you know what I mean, and they stink and they lose Packers and the Rams, which are very tough games, you know, they're both here, right? But so you know, they have really tough out-of-conference games. I would just say, and it's not even a suggestion, I just don't – this isn't a good team. It's not a great team at all. It's not a Super Bowl the way we'd see it. But given where the tide of all the rest of this is and the players they're actually playing with right now, to your point, and I'm sure you'll do the math on this, you know, how much against the salary cap is not on the field for them, big money, that, you know, this fan should enjoy this. I mean, the cardiac part of it, even if they lose a game like that on Sunday, you say we played our backup quarterback and, you know, gave him hell for four quarters in Chicago and couldn't, you know, kick and field goals in the sandbox, as John Harbaugh would say. I was prepared to get on the plane and come home with my feelings hurt, quite frankly. I called it stealing a game. And you know, they played hard. They were there at the end. They did what they needed to do when it happened. You know, when the game was really on the line, they moved the ball enough. It's an impressive win for me, but I'm not impressed by the team in that way. I don't sense Super Bowl stock in this, but the next 6 weeks would tell me that if they go out every week, and even if they're winning ugly like this against the Browns and coming back the way they did last year, I stand impressed by the resiliency of it and how well coached they are on a week by week basis, because they do have a bunch of guys running around who weren't in the plan.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing I'll say about this, I mean, backup quarterbacks, teams can win with backup quarterbacks in the league. I'm not saying they can win over the long haul, but they can win. I mean, look at the Cardinals with Colt McCoy. I mean, they've won two of the last three games without Kyler Murray, and they went to Seattle. And not that the Seahawks are very good, but hey, Russell Wilson's back. So I can't sit here and say I was, quote, impressed, you know, especially, you know, not by the performance. I mean, the offense, they didn't score a touchdown until the final minute of the game. The defense, like I said, played really well for stretches, but give up two big plays. And Andy Dalton, old friend, old AFC North adversary, you know, does it to him. And you know, that was a little bit of salt in the wound when it looks like they're going to lose. But just their ability to survive, their ability to just find a way when you consider all the guys they are missing, when you consider some of the guys that they're leaning on. You know, you mentioned Brandon Stevens. I mean, he was a third round pick, and he was going to be the first guy up if something happened to one of their two starters. So that's not stunning. But when you're talking
that,
about,
you might not like the result, but the ball didn't go over his head three times. You know what I mean? Like, and the missed tackle and whatever, that's endemic to the whole program at this point.
Right.
Because they are high wire guys. I mean, Rob Ryan's in there calling it the way he calls it. They're all strips. You know, they're all looking to strip. I mean, they're all looking to make a big play. So that's who they are as a defense, their profile.
Right. But I mean, Brandon Stevens, I agree with you. I mean, Chris Westry got picked on and he gave up a lot of plays. I mean, but no Marcus Peters, no Anthony Averett, who replaced him. Jimmy Smith was inactive on Sunday, even though we haven't seen him play a whole lot at this point, because I think physically there's just not a lot of confidence that he's going to hold up. at this stage of his career. Honest,
Brandon Stevens wouldn't have been on the field. I mean, he might have played 12 snaps or something, like, if everybody was healthy. If it was drawn up perfectly, it would have been different players out there.
I mean, Chris Westry probably would have played in the dime. I think you would have seen that. But, yeah, I mean – or no, I'm sorry. Brandon Stevens would have played in the dime. Chris Westry wouldn't have been out there. Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with you there. But
you talked a lot about Chris Westry.
It's where they are right now. And the one,
you know what I mean? That was one of the – Westry was a guy you liked, they liked, and now he's on the field.
Well, and let's – and in fairness to him, as much as, you know, clearly that last touchdown was not something that he's going to want to relive as far as whatever his career ends up being. That's not going to make the career highlight video. But, yeah, this is a kid who hadn't played much football. He was in Dallas, got hurt. They liked him a lot, had a really good spring and summer. And he got hurt in week 1. He had a meniscus injury. So he's just getting back the last couple weeks anyway. But, again, it speaks to the fact that he had to play the state of their secondary. And
well,
and that's where you just
hope. Who the hell is he? And I'm like, I know his name well because you talked about him 3 times a week for a month or two. And that's why I'm saying I'm comparing it to a preseason game a little bit, because these were the names you were talking about in August who are like doing it and winning. And it's not pretty. It's not Marcus Peters. It doesn't look like it's worth $20 million a year, but they're winning.
Yeah. Well, and that's where they are. And let's face it. I mean, every team's dealing with injuries now, not to the degree that the Ravens dealt with so early in the season, but you know, you're never going to make it through a season completely healthy. I mean, even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they had some very healthy football teams, they still lost a guy here or there. I mean, Lamar Jackson became the quarterback because Joe Flacco went down with a hip injury for, a couple games. And then it was all over after that for Joe here in Baltimore. But, they had Tony Jefferson in 2019 go down, even though that was a really healthy team overall. So you're going to have some of that. So you can't just view it through the lens of, oh, this team would be perfect or undefeated if they had all those guys out on the field. Well, you're never going to keep everyone out on the field, but you can look at it and you can lament it a little bit if you're, not that the Ravens are going to lament it, but as a fan, you can look at it and wonder what if. But at the same time, that's where you just said, enjoy the ride. I mean, they've had 5 fourth-quarter comeback wins, and, I mean, you look at the history of the game, that is very rare territory. I mean, I saw a statistic. I think the Elias Sports Bureau had said, there's only, I think, 3 other teams that have done that in their first 10 games. I think it was the 82 Raiders. I want to say it was a 2009 Colts. And I think the 2016 Lions, basically the last time the Lions were any good at all. So now, not talking about teams that ultimately were destined to win championships, although that Colts team did get to the Super Bowl that year against the Saints, but it's fun. And it hasn't been overly impressive. And I think one thing, and I wrote this a couple of weeks ago with just an overall sentiment of enjoy the ride, because it's just been really entertaining, even if it's not good for your blood pressure over the course of 3 hours.
Yeah, these aren't games you want to turn
there's
off,
this
even
sentiment,
though the first half kind of stunk.
Yeah, but there's this sentiment, and I think we experienced this some last year too, but there's this sentiment of waiting for the Ravens to look like they did 2 years ago. And that's just not reality. That's why I said, when we talked about it that night and the following day and the weeks that followed after that loss to the Titans in the playoffs after a 14-2 season where they had won all those games in a row and had this unbelievable point differential. You have a unanimous league MVP, all these guys making the Pro Bowl. And the thought was when they lost, I think the positive spin was what? The Ravens are a year early, right? They are ahead of schedule. That's not how this works. When you have a team like that, in the same way that the Ravens, Ravens fans lamented for years the Steve McNair 13-3 2006 season when they lose, just an absolute disappointing, heartbreaking loss to Indy, where 15-6. Those years don't come around very often, and so much of it does really
era to come back, right? I mean,
Yeah. Well, I mean, there you go. A 98 win wire to wire, right? And no question. But the best team doesn't always win. But what's painful about that is as much as at the time you want to tell yourself that, hey, they'll do this again. And look at the 2012 Ravens. They weren't as good as the 2011 Ravens. I don't think they were even, dare I say, I'm not sure they were even close to as good as the 2011 Ravens when you consider the difference in the defense, the injuries they had that year compared to the year before. I mean, it was a very different team. And they really, even though they still won 10 games compared to 12, remember, that was a grind. And there were a lot of games that they kind of won very similar, very eerily similar to this year, where you just say,
by the way, they lost, I don't know if they're that like good. Jacksonville or something, right? Like that 9-6 Ray Rice.
Well, that was 2011, right, right.
I mean, they've, with good teams, they've lost these kinds of ugly, you know, sleepy 6-3, 9-6, 15-6, as I remember the Colts game. I remember a score on that, Luke. So, yeah, I mean, it's very easy to let these get away with your backups, and especially your backup quarterback, and say, we're not supposed to win. Well, you know, that's the one you steal after you get your ass kicked in Miami and you weren't ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this was a good placeholder win, in the sense that they didn't lose. You know, you're missing Lamar Jackson. You didn't miss a beat. You gained ground in the AFC hierarchy, talking about Tennessee and Buffalo and the teams at the very top. And you maintained your lead in the AFC North with that win. I mean, as unimpressive as that was in a lot of ways, you're just happy that you didn't lose anything, knowing that your best player wasn't out there. So, you know, they're not going to be the 2019 Ravens. I'd be shocked if they're blowing teams out in the coming weeks, but they're finding ways to win games. And as we've seen, go back to 2012, I just mentioned it, all those wins, and, you know, they had the 3-game losing streak late in the season. All it takes is one or two games to really get you going, and then there you go. You make a playoff run, and the rest is history, and quarterback gets $120 million, or in this case, Lamar Jackson will get $450 million or whatever it is, and you'll be champions. But they've got a lot of work to do between now and then, but you'll gladly feel that way when it's 7-3 rather than falling to 6-4 and not feeling good about yourself.
Now let's get some fluids into Lamar and get him ready to play here this week. Luke Jones is around. He'll be in Owings Mills all week long, including for the Gobble Gobble this week as the Ravens get ready for a Sunday night game against Cleveland Browns. I have a bunch of our Cleveland friends coming on this week. Mayor Brandon Scott joined us over at Coco's in Lauraville last week on the Maryland Lottery Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're letting ourselves play. We're getting back to Bel Air and Abingdon on Friday. We'll be at Conrad's Crabs having a crab cake with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman, as well as my pal Eric Sauer from There Goes My Hero, and some other dignitaries and guests who are bored on Black Friday. I want to stop by between 2 and 5 up in Abingdon. Next week, we're at Pappas next Friday, December 3rd, before the Pittsburgh game. We're going to be up in Cockeysville doing that from noon until 3. Got some great guests lined up for that, including my pal Jim Reese. Lena Raskin's going to join us. And there's a rumor, Luke, that Mike Bordick may be joining me at Pappas for a crab cake. That would be a baseball crab cake at Pappas on December 3rd. All are brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I also want to give some love to our friends at Wise Markets for the Wise Conversations, the pumpkin pie ice cream. At some point, somebody will find me some eggnog ice cream because I'm without right now, and that has to change in the next 48 hours, or it's not going to be a happy Thanksgiving for me. Luke and I are going to talk some offense, some running game. We're going to be around all week long getting you ready for the Cleveland game. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.